Hello, friends, and welcome to Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I am so excited to be with you this week. I hope that you enjoyed time with family and friends for the July 4th holiday. I hope that you are back home safely at your home church. This is a week where we will be doing a service of word and table, and anytime that we are going to be doing communion at Bethlehem, it reminds me to tell you that I hope that this is not the only form of worship that you have. I hope that you have a church where you go and worship and where you are fed body and spirit. Especially on communion Sundays that I think about that. And I hope that you have that in your life. If you do, then I thank you for also listening to this podcast and being inspired, as I am inspired by the words of God and am given these messages. And if you don't, I really hope that you will consider going and sitting in a pew. There is nothing like it. And so I appreciate all of you being here with me on this July 7th, which ironically is also the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, as we are in ordinary time. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's epistle lesson comes from the second letter to the Corinthians from Paul. We are in the 12th chapter, verses 2 through 10. Hear now the word of the Lord. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up to paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weakness. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, let us say now together the words of the Apostles' Creed as we remember the things of our belief. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, as we come together this week, may we remember all of those who helped this country remain independent and what it means to truly be free, to practice our religion as we see fit. We are thankful for those who saw that as something that is necessary for people to be able to come to you in a way that is pleasing and helpful and authentic to them. But let us all come to you. Hear now the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson continues in the book of Mark, the gospel according to Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Hear now the story of Jesus. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that he has been given to, that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometowns and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, on this week that we remember those who fought for our freedom, let us always be reminded that the only true freedom that comes in life comes from faith in you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Spielberg and Hanks did it again. In a quest to make me ugly cry, like they did with Band of Brothers and the Pacific, Masters of the Air had my eyes draining until I was almost dehydrated. It hit way too close to home. I cried during the entire show, start to finish. Even though it was a different squad and even a different type of airplane, there on my screen was my grandfather. His story unfolding before me in a way that I could not even imagine. I've heard the stories of that day of July 3rd, 1944, and knew that he had been captured and held and liberated, but those were just stories. He left out a lot of details. I know it was hard for him to talk about, so we got a skeleton of a story that we have tried since to piece together with records and letters. But there on my screen, in full color, was the story of that part of his life in a way that I had never imagined I would be able to see it. We called him a hero, but Morris hated that notion. The pilot, he would say, Second Lieutenant James Cooper, was the hero, along with the others that died that day. He gave the rest of them a chance to survive. Morris lived out those verses in 2 Corinthians. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except for my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Satan had definitely put a thorn in his side. He always boasted about his faith and others around him for his survival. Morris gave no credit to any, gave credit to everyone else but himself. Even when everyone around him told him otherwise, he would wave us off. Friends, family, neighbors. He did not want any of the credit. You can see it in his letters home from his time in captivity. His sister, my Aunt Dot, gave them to me many years ago. In his letters, he protected the people back at home. He kept them from the hurt and pain and worry as much as he could. His letters talked about everything but what it was like to be a POW. He talked about how much he loved getting their letters and how excited he was about her engagement to my Uncle John Joyner. Anything to protect those he loved. I read these verses today from Mark, and I thought about how different the view was of a hometown hero. For Jesus, it was an uphill battle. The verses say prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could not do no deed of power there, except that he laid hands on a few of the sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. They did not believe that this kid that they watched grow up was now healing and teaching and was the Son of God. How could he be? Wasn't he just running around here laughing and playing with the other kids in the neighborhood? How can that kid now be performing miracles? They didn't recognize him as the Son of God because they only saw him as the Son of Man. Do we have blinders on still to Jesus as the Son of God? We try to put him in a box or put a name on the hats he wears. Do we forget that he was and is all of the things we need in our lives? Healer, teacher, friend, Messiah, God incarnate, human. Do we see too much of him being a savior to forget that he was also a healer? Do we see him as divine and as the King of Kings too much and forget that he spent most of his time with the outcasts? It seems like the people of his hometown did just that. They only saw him as the son of Mary and Joseph and not the holy part of the Trinity that he was. Now, I will give them some grace. That's a lot to wrap your head around. Think about the kids in your own church. Are they just the, when you look at them now grown, do you still see the little kid that ran around the halls and not the full-grown adult that they've become? Is it hard to believe that they're all grown up? I've heard it said in churches, and I say it myself about my own family and friends, but those ideas were exactly how the people of Jesus' hometown limited how they saw him. They missed who he really was and how they could be healed fully and completely by one of their own. They were just too close to the human of Jesus that they didn't take a step back and see the fullness and divinity of Jesus. They had overlooked the miracle of faith and what it requires to believe in Jesus. I see this a lot in the academic world. We study things to death, and at some point we forget about the wonder and the mystery and the beauty of faith. We dissect the idea of divinity right out of faith. We get too close to see the possibilities. Just like the people of Jesus' family and hometown. I wonder if Morris left out so much of the details of his time overseas because he didn't want us to see him fully. He told us often that he never shot his gun back in the tail of that B-52 or B-25. I think he did that so we wouldn't think poorly of him, especially my grandmother. But after watching Masters of the Air and reading all of the reports of his missions, I'm almost 100% sure that he was not telling us the truth. He was worried that if we saw the fullness of who he was and what he had done, we would not love him anymore. Which, of course, is preposterous. But maybe he was having a hard time loving himself for the things he had done. He kept his letters back to family members back home about the good news and the happy things going on there, so no one would worry about what he was going through. His letters and his own stories did not reveal who he fully was. His humility did not show everything that he carried with him. He loved to joke and call himself a jailbird. That sarcasm and humor runs deep in my gene pool. It was the only crack in the armor that he used to let us see. I guess, in a way, I'm thankful for all those tears that Spielberg and Hanks caused me to shed. While it drained me and exhausted me and made me cry that very ugly cry of mine, it gave me a perspective that I would have never had of the things that happened to Morris. They were not in his letters. They were not in his stories. They weren't even in the eyewitness accounts. I believe the veil is thin between heaven and earth. I believe that he is a balcony saint of mine for sure. Mostly he shakes his head at my shenanigans, but I hope that he knows that I can fully see him now. That I appreciate him even more than I ever did, because I see the complexity of who he was. While Morris was not eager for us to know all the parts of him, the opposite was true of Jesus. For those in his hometown, for the disciples, for those throughout the known world, for those in the early church, and for us today, he longs for us to know him fully. He wants us to see him for all he is and was. The beauty of his humanity is only made stronger by his divine nature. To look deeply in the scriptures, the firsthand accounts, and the prophets, and the letters of the early church, and see all of who he is. Understand him deeply and fully so that we can be in relationship and fellowship with him. One of the most powerful ways to do that very thing, to see and celebrate Christ in full, is to remember the Last Supper that he shared with people who were closest to him. By doing so, we can grow closer to each other and closer to God. As we come to the table, as I hope that you go to a table where you worship, let us remember the fullness of God, his divinity, his humanity, his compassion, and his relationship that he longs to have with all of us. Amen. As we go throughout our week, let us look to our hometowns for inspiration, to the scripture for the words of inspiration and faith, but also to the wonder and the possibilities that come from a life in Christ. Because in life and death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.